Thank you, Sue, for bringing us our reading this morning. Before we begin, shall we just take a moment to pray? Father God, be with us this morning as we explore your word. Help us to grow in our depth of understanding and in our love of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's good to be here with you all this morning. And I want to start by asking you a question. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt really stuck? A situation that really matters? Maybe someone you love is very ill and you just can't get the right treatment. Or you've been applying for job after job without even getting an interview. We have systems in place that ought to help in these situations, but sometimes they just don't work. So what do we do? Desperate times sometimes call for desperate measures, but the problem is that desperate measures often lead us to taking dangerous risks. Naomi and Ruth were facing desperate times. And this morning, we're looking at the options that were open to them and the risks that they had to take. Over the last couple of weeks, as we've seen the story of Ruth unfold, it begins when Elimelech leaves Judah and takes his family to Moab during a dark time in Israel's history, when everyone lived to please themselves, not God. There was a huge famine in Israel, so Elimelech took his wife, Naomi, and their two sons east. And when they reached Moab, they settled there. They were essentially refugees fleeing to another land and choosing to make a home for themselves there. But as we know, Elimelech died. His sons had married Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. But then the sons died, leaving no children. So Naomi went back to her own people in Judah, with Ruth insisting on going along with her. Even before we get to this morning's passage, we can see the difficulty that Naomi and her daughter-in-law have faced. First, Naomi flees to Moab with her family. She sees her husband die. And then sometime later, both of her sons die too. She has no other sons for her two daughters-in-law. And they themselves have no children of their own. As widows, Ruth and Naomi could only look forward to difficult times. There was little worse than being a widow in ancient times. Widows were often taken advantage of or ignored, and were almost always poverty-stricken. This is why God's law provided that the nearest relative of the dead husband was to care for them. But Naomi had no relatives in Moab, and seeing no future for herself there, she returned home to her own people, not knowing if she even still had any living relatives there. She encouraged Orpah and Ruth to return to their own families in Moab and make a fresh start. But Ruth was having none of it. She chose to go with her mother-in-law to Judah, despite there being no assurances of any hope in that future. In fact, they've got nothing. No food, no income. It's not even clear at that point if they have a roof over their heads. Ruth ends up going off to glean grain from the fields after the harvesters have been through. That's where she follows on behind and picks up the scraps that have been left behind in the field that have been missed by the harvesters or dropped as they've harvested the crops. And remember, Israel's not living in the best of times. Even in the best of times, this would have been a dangerous activity for any woman. But for a Moabite who isn't really welcome anywhere, it's decidedly dangerous for Ruth because she's got absolutely no one looking out for her. It's here she meets Boaz, who shows kindness to Ruth, a despised Moabite woman with no money. In all of this, before we even look at Ruth chapter 3, we see loving through risk. The risk Elimelech took, packing up all his belongings and taking his family to a strange land. The risk that Ruth took, heading to an uncertain future in an unknown land with her mother-in-law, Naomi. The risk that Ruth took when she went out into the fields to glean what little food she could. The risk Boaz took in showing Ruth kindness and offering her protection, telling his workers to let her take whatever she wanted. What would the neighbors think? But what about Ruth 3? Desperate times calling for desperate measures. You see, it's all well and good the kindness that Boaz had shown to Ruth and Naomi in chapter 2, but it only gave them enough to live day by day. It was a short-term solution. Where was their long-term security going to come from? As we know, they were both widows. Ruth hadn't remarried, so there was nobody to carry on Elimelech's family name. Many times God had spoken to Israel about looking after and taking care of the widow, the orphan, and the alien or the foreigner. But Israel had never really fully embraced that. And it's this that obviously concerns Naomi. She wants to ensure that Ruth is looked after, that she has somebody to take care of her. Now, at the end of chapter 2, Naomi realizes that Boaz is one of their close relatives, their guardian redeemer, a relative who can potentially look after Ruth and provide for her future. So Naomi comes up with a plan to provide for Ruth's long-term future, just as Ruth has found a way to provide for them in the short term by gleaning from the fields. Naomi knows how all the Israelite customs and laws work, so Ruth follows Naomi's guidance. She washes, she puts on perfume, and she dresses in her best clothes. But I wonder if she's a bit nervous, if she has a little bit of doubt as to how Boaz would react. Naomi had told Ruth to wait until Boaz retired for the night. But it seems that Ruth waited a little longer because she waited until he was well and truly asleep before going to lie at his feet. We know this because Boaz was startled in the middle of the night by Ruth's presence. Now, whether or not we are to read any more into the situation is open for debate. Some have suggested that it was perfectly normal for servants to go and lie at their master's feet. Others have speculated that the phrase could be suggestive of something more romantic or sexual in nature. But what we do know is that Boaz woke up, and when he did, he was startled in the middle of the night, asking who it was that was at his feet. Ruth explains to Boaz who she was, why she was there, that he was a guardian redeemer of the family, someone who could help to preserve the family name of Elimelech and to provide security for both Ruth and Naomi's futures. The phrase, spread your garments over me, is thought to be a request for marriage. Whether anything did happen between them that night isn't ultimately relevant. But it was nevertheless a huge risk that Ruth was taking. Despite Boaz's earlier kindnesses, he could very well have taken advantage of this woman lying at his feet. And also Ruth, while she'll have picked up some of the Israelite customs, wouldn't have been fully aware of them all, being from Moab. So she had to trust Naomi. She had to trust in the moral integrity of Naomi as someone who was looking out for Ruth's best interests and not just her own interests. as we think back, we can probably all think of at least one person older and wiser than we are, perhaps a parent, an older relative or friend, whose wisdom and guidance we've sought out when the future has seemed very uncertain. I know I can think of several people who've helped me in that way at various points in my life. But even when we seek the advice of those we trust, it's still a risk to trust that their advice is the right advice to follow, especially when we feel completely clueless ourselves as to what we ought to be doing. And even when it is done with the best of intentions, it can occasionally backfire quite spectacularly. So there is always a risk. Ruth followed Naomi's advice almost to the letter. She took the risk out of love and respect for Naomi, and trusting in Naomi's love and respect for her too. We see that Boaz was a man of integrity. He might not have been, but it would appear that he was. He acknowledges Ruth's loyalty to her family and wanted to ensure that she was known as a virtuous woman. As a man of integrity, he explains to her that there is another closer relative who may marry Ruth, because in the culture, it was this closer relative had first refusal, if you like. But if not, then Boaz said that he himself would marry her. He tells her to lie at his feet until morning, but to then go before anyone else sees that a woman has been there. Again, seeking to protect Ruth's reputation, but perhaps also his own integrity as well. They were all taking risks out of family loyalty, out of love and respect for one another. So that question again, have you ever faced a situation where you felt completely stuck? A situation that really matters? When have you taken a huge risk for somebody else? Have you ever put your reputation on the line for someone? A friend, a relative, perhaps even a complete stranger. Has someone ever taken that big risk for you? Or put their trust completely in you? Boaz, Naomi, and Ruth have all taken big risks in our passage this morning. But as we've seen, this wasn't the first time any of them had taken risks. We see them doing that throughout the book of Ruth. If you've missed that over the last couple of weeks, I urge you to go back and read the first couple of chapters and just see how that story develops. And sometimes people are left with no other choice but to take real risks. In theory, there was a system in place in the Israelite culture that should have taken care of Naomi and Ruth as widows. Whether they had family or not. But it didn't really work. They needed Boaz to come to their rescue. And there are systems in place in our own culture that should help to take care of those who have fallen on hard times, who've lost everything, who have found themselves well and truly stuck, not knowing where to turn. People can end up destitute, homeless, and broken because the systems that are in place simply don't work. The systems are overstretched or under-resourced, or sometimes they're just too difficult to access. Perhaps Perhaps these people have no family to turn to, no one else who can help them. So what can we do? How can we help those in need in our community, in our congregation? What risks are we prepared to take? How are we prepared to show our love for each other and for those around us? And how do we respond to the need that we see in our community? Love is what it comes down to. Loving the Lord our God with all that we are. Loving our neighbours as ourselves. And perhaps even loving ourselves. When we love God with all that we are, when we love our neighbour as ourselves, then we will be willing and able to take those risks. It's a risk just to love people enough to step out and offer that help to those who need it. It's a risk to love ourselves enough that we might ask for and accept that help should we ever find ourselves in need. It's a risk to step out in faith and to trust in God's unfailing love, trusting in the God who laid down his life for his friends. So when we go out today, let's be prepared to love one another. Let's be prepared to look out for one another. Let's be prepared to care for one another. Let's be prepared to love through risk. Amen.